Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes.
Hello.
Hello! And welcome to this special edition of Musical Improv Comedy.
Welcome indeed, and it's special because we bring you one of our experiments.
It's also special because we haven't done one for bloody ages.
That is very true, yes.
So we've been having too much fun to make podcasts, but yeah. That's not an excuse.
No, it's not.
But we did do a day, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, we did a day which was entitled Improv for Musicians. And basically the focus of the day was how to be a musician for improv.
So basically, for once, I couldn't talk the whole way through the day because I didn't know. I didn't know the answer to anything.
That's true. You did a pretty good job, though.
Did I?
Yeah.
What, people believed that I knew what I was talking about?
No, you talked a lot.
Oh. I thought you were actually being nice then.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's fine.
So the idea as well was that it wasn't so much a kind of masterclass or workshop for people. It was more of a discovery session. And actually, the way it went was a kind of discovery of how to work with a band.
Yeah.
Which wasn't necessarily how we planned it.
No, it was interesting because I think I'd done a similar session down in Bristol with Liz.
Hmm.
With some very, very underconfident musicians. And the basis of that session was more like very, very, very basic exercises supported by the on-stage improvisers to get that person confident enough doing a little bit of stuff.
Yeah.
But when we showed up to this day, we had, Tom Hodge, who works with the Maydays all the time, is an amazing accompanist.
Yeah.
Hannah Brackenbury, who works with Short and Girlies.
Yeah.
You know, a few other people there who were already doing it. So all of a sudden it was like really improvising. You have to throw your plan out the window and just go with what's in the room. Really.
Yeah, and share our experience. And the one thing that none of us had really done is try and work with a band.
Yes.
I've done it a few times, but not to that extent. So we had a bass and guitar. We used my keyboard for some percussion things.
Which is really fun.
It was really fun. We had a bunch of people to get up and have a sing. My only previous experience, really, of a full band trying to accompany improv is seeing Baby Wants Candy.
And you need a beat to death.
Yeah, that's not. I wouldn't describe that as a full band.
Well, it was a three-piece band.
But there were no... I mean, the flute... There was no one else that I'd really have to direct as to what key we were in.
For people listening, Beat to Death was the band that accompanied The Happening, which was the improvised beat poetry night we ran last year.
I believe there's a podcast about that,
isn't there?
Is there? Yeah, there might well be.
Great.
Have a look on our website. So the way I thought it would work is that the musical director, whether they be at the keyboard or the guitar or whatever, gives signals as to what chords they're going to play next.
Yeah.
And, that's the way it's done. Turns out that might not be the case.
Yeah.
It might just be an idea of sticking with your improv instincts and keeping your ears open and everyone being jointly in charge of everything.
Wasn't it? Because we had some people there who when you said, oh, if I call out thirds and fifths, will that work? And they were like, nope.
Nope, no idea.
And it wouldn't have worked for me either. No. And I, you know, I play the ukulele and I've always just assumed that I would never be able to accompany improv because I don't have the ability. Mm. But actually we had some people there, you know, who just play, you know, a bit of guitar.
Yeah.
And through the sort of power of the group, you know, they were joining in and people were supporting them. Yeah, it was really cool.
It was really cool. So one thing I definitely noticed about playing with a band is that you, well, I don't know how to put it. Either you get stuck in a groove,
yeah,
or you need to get stuck in a groove.
Oh, that's an interesting way of putting it.
Because it's very safe when you found something, everyone knows what the chords are and you're jamming along and you can do whatever you want. And often the wheels would come off when there was a middle eight or a bridge section or someone tried to do something different. Either a singer or a musician.
Yeah.
So that's why I say maybe you need to be stuck in a groove. Maybe that's the time when the band works, when you've already established what's going on.
Yeah, and whether you pre-establish those rules, you know, if you're doing that for a show, would you pre-establish those rules? Because there was definitely, from the improviser's point of view, very much a sense that, I think I said this on the day, that once you're on that roller coaster, you're on for the full ride, and there was nothing you could really do to stop it.
Mm.
And actually making strong offers in the way that you normally would if you're just working with one musician or perhaps, you know, an experienced improv band, those offers wouldn't get picked up.
No.
It was more about the band than it was about the improvisers.
It seemed to be, yeah.
Which was great, you know, that's what we wanted. Mm. But definitely would be an interesting experiment to do it again. I think everybody was interested in doing it again.
Yeah.
Also, what I thought was really interesting is, you know, bands improvising together is not new. I
mean, no.
It's as old as the hills.
Mm.
But what's very interesting, I think, about a band improvising together to support something that's happening on stage is that it sort of takes that ego thing out of it. Like, it's not about I'm a soloist or I'm going to make the most interesting choice. It's like supporting this scene and this story and these people. Whereas if, you know, you're just in a kind of freak out psychedelic jazz band, it's like, who can do the weirdest thing with their
pipe? Yeah, it is. And that's the thing I've always been wary of before, is that when I'm playing for improv, you know, I'm watching like a hawk, the person who's doing whatever they're doing on stage, because you don't know what they're going to do otherwise. And people can very clearly signal their intent, whether they're about to break out into a massive, huge bridge, or whether they're going to suddenly have an introspective moment. And that, I think that's very hard to navigate with a band.
Yeah.
Basically.
I did feel, though, that the feeling of support in the room was really, really cool.
It was.
Well, there wasn't a sense of competition that I think, you know, I've had with jamming with musicians in that sense before.
Well, I think most of the people there have had experience of on-stage improv as well.
Very interesting to take a group of like very high. I mean, we've said this before that I'd love to do that with a full orchestra. You know, they're highly trained musicians who've got no experience of improv.
Yeah,
because I think they'd be better at some things, but I think there'd be a lot of it they'd be crap at.
Mm, I think so. I think the more people you have, the more you need to have one person in charge who does know what they're doing.
Yeah,
and it's maybe that's something we didn't explore enough. Is that rather than the person being in charge of shouting out chords, they're more in charge of kind of who comes in when, cutting everyone at a certain point and just carrying on themselves. So it means if you do see something coming up, if I was on keyboard and I thought, okay, it's time for a bridge, I've got no idea what the person on stage is going to do. I could just take everyone else out, busk that moment myself, and then once it's back into something I knew, I could bring people back in.
I'm hungry for more.
I'm hungry. I think everyone was hungry for more.
Yeah.
There was all sorts of talk that was going off in all sorts of crazy directions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do it again.
We're definitely going to do it again.
There's a vast, rich world to explore.
There is, isn't it brilliant?
Yeah.
It is great, you know. I feel like every time we do one of our experiments, it generates 15 more experiments.
Of course it does, yeah.
And what about you? What would you like to experiment with as a result of that day?
I'm really interested in the band stuff because, as from the few snippets of recordings that hopefully we're going to play, when that really lands, it was just, it really transformed things. And it's something that I can't do to that extent on my keyboard. However much I set up the bass sounds and the drum sounds, having a live bass just sort of drop in.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic. Aww. It was so good to have a bass. Man. It was great when Harry was accompanying scenes with just his bass.
Yeah.
We gave him like apathy as an emotion and it came out like full of dread and doom.
Yeah.
What if a bird flies into the engine?
Yeah, I want to do more. Like, the movement thing really excites me as well. So, Joe recently accompanied a sound and movement team down at our festival in Vienna called The Dreaming.
And that was fun.
It was amazing. And, you know, you were really influencing them and they were influencing you through the music. It was a very musical piece. Yeah. So, maybe that's another thing I'd like to do, to take a band and improvise with movement, you know.
Oh, so much to do.
So much. And singing, we still have monkeys. I was just thinking that. The call's still out there. If you've got
please.
Some orangutans, we want to come and sing with them.
Yeah, if you've got orangutans or chimps or know someone who does.
Any primates, really.
Well, apart from humans. We've done humans a lot.
Are we primates?
Don't know.
I thought you were going to answer really confidently then and say, yes, we are. One of us now looks really thick.
Yeah.
It's probably me.
Well, I'll say yes, we are primates.
Okay. Are we primates then?
Yeah.
Good.
You are.
Well, one of us now looks really stupid. I hope it's you for a change.
I think you're a primate and you look stupid.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay. Well, singing with primates, not humans.
Still want to do singing with trees.
Okay, sure. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah.
Stay in touch.
Do.
Send us an email.
Why not?
Buy a book.
If they wanted to send us an email, where would they email us?
Why don't you say, because I'd like to test if you know what our email address is.
openyourmouthandsing@gmail.com.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Anyway.
Bye!
Had the rainbow theme tune pop into my head there. Or is it Bod?
We're rebranding, actually. We're not called Musical Improv Comedy anymore.
No, we're called openyourmouthandsing.co.uk.
But the podcast is just surely Open Your Mouth and Sing.
I think it's Sing It.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong with that?
We've got confused branding.
Yeah, we have.
Because the book is Sing It.
Yeah. The podcast is
Should
Sing
be.
It.
Is it?
It is at the moment.
Oh.
So, but we can't have singit.co.uk. Someone's got it already.
Bastard.
Sell it to us. Give it
if
to us.
If you've got singit.co.uk, we'd like it, please.
I have a feeling it's going to be a fucker of an editing job, this. And
why?
Well, because we're talking shit.
I think keep the shit in. Keep the shit in. That's the moral of today.
That's the title of your next workshop.